In order to do my job, I have to ask myself, who is Tom Cruise? What is Tom Cruise? Why is Tom Cruise? When is Tom Cruise?
Welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host, Travis.
And I'm Xavier.
And on this episode, you know what? We're about to go check out the new movie, Mission Impossible,
Rogue Nation.
Rogue Nation. And we had a little bit of time to kill, so we had an impromptu time to just, let's do a quick episode here. And what's a good topic now? The star of the Mission Impossible franchise.
Ving Rhames.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
He's been in all of them.
Right? Whether it needed to be or not.
Yeah. Yes.
Tom Cruise. And for this, Tom Cruise has been around mainstream media, pop culture, everything for, God, how many years now? It's like
mid-80s.
Early 80s, yeah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until...
He's probably the biggest movie star, like star status, you know, as big of a movie star as we've ever had.
Yeah.
In the last few decades.
Yeah, I think so. And what we decided to do is, let's just do kind of a...
rundown?
Yeah, kind of a rundown or just a spotlight on Tom Cruise and some of the great movies he's been in and starred in and everything else. And
some of the great movies, good performances he's done.
Yeah, just a little bit of everything. And
maybe a great performance or two even.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them. And this is kind of on the fly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, full disclaimer... We didn't have a lot of time for, you know, prep or anything like that, so we're just going to try to kind of go off the cuff here and see the best, you know, what we can do. And if there's anything that, you know, you as a listener want to contribute or, you know, correct us or add on to this, feel free to let us know. Just, you know, shoot us a message through our Facebook page, facebook.com/popculturerewind, our email, just popculturerewind@gmail.com. And also check out all of our episodes through iTunes or the Stitcher Radio app for Android. Just do a search for Pop Culture Rewind on those.
Is that what Stitcher is? It's just like the iTunes for Androids?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, I've heard you say that like dozens of times. I don't know what Stitcher is, but okay, go on.
It's like the go-to for Android.
That's cool. Good to know. All right.
And
I wouldn't know because I have an iPhone because my mother loved me.
Well, but you still have the first generation sitting over
there. That's not a first generation. That is a 4S, my friend. And I'm going to...
It might as well be the first generation.
It might as well be at this point, yeah. I keep needing to upgrade.
Look how small the screen is.
Nobody cares.
How do you see stuff on there anyway?
That's the thing, though. I see people with gigantic ass phones in their pockets, and they're so huge. And I don't like bulky, big phones. I hate having stuff in my pockets. Every time I sit down, if I'm at the movies or I'm driving, I have to empty my whole pockets. It's just like a thing with me. So I don't like big phones. That's why I haven't gotten around to getting the giant 5S, 6, whatever they are. Anyway, you know what? Nobody cares. We're gonna go see Mission Impossible later.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's gonna be. It looks good from the trailers.
Yeah, this is Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. It's part 5 of the franchise. His first part 5. I don't think he's done that many of any single franchise.
No, I think this is his franchise. Like,
it's clearly built on the strength of Tom Cruise. He's other than Ving Rhames, asterisk on Ving Rhames, he's the one consistent thing.
Yeah,
new directors every time, new supporting agents every time. But the one constant is Tom Cruise.
Right.
So if these things are working, he deserves some credit for that.
Yeah.
So do you remember the first Mission Impossible? I remember it because it was playing at the theater when I was a kid.
And it was as a kid?
If I see a kid in high school, 16. There. See, I just said it.
16.
A kid in high school, yeah.
But you're working there, right?
Kids can work.
Yeah.
They're minors. They're technically minors, they're kids.
Well, we were working there, and I don't consider us kids.
Again, nobody cares.
It came out in 96. This particular one, directed by Brian De Palma.
Mm-hmm.
So, this was just, I don't know if this was planned as a franchise, but it was definitely like in the...
I don't think Hollywood had that franchise mentality yet.
Not yet, yeah, but they're going to get there eventually.
Yeah.
But, you know, this was probably part of the fad of bringing, like... Doing movies based off
taking old TV shows,
right?
Because by then, these are the people who were in their 30s and 40s and stuff.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, who had remembered watching it, the shows. Obviously, the show Mission Impossible with Peter Graves.
Yeah.
Which I never really watched. I always knew it as a property, but I never really watched it.
It was one of those shows, I think, came like on Nick at Night or Nickelodeon or whatever. I just never, I don't know what it was. I just never, just before my time, I guess.
Did you like the movie?
It has moments. It was...
It had a style.
Yeah.
I think the overall plot was a little meh. And a lot of people I remember hated that they took the character, the main character of the show, the character Jim Phelps, in the movie played by John Voight, and made him a bad guy.
Right, that was the big twist in the movie.
Yeah, that'd be like making a Dukes of Hazzard movie and having Bo Duke kill Luke or something like that, you know? Well, like,
that sounds stupid.
So some people were having a hate on over that issue. I didn't know, I wasn't familiar, so that didn't bug me.
Right, yeah. I'm the same way.
I got more pissed off that they killed Emilio like 10 minutes in. I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, ooh, Emilio's in this movie. I'm about to have a good time. And he gets stabbed, like, in the first 10 minutes.
I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm getting ready to get up and leave. And of course, the famous scene that was spoofed that everybody thought was the... where he's hanging.
Drop down, yeah.
Where he's dropping. And he's like, inches off the ground with his arms flailing. Everybody knows that image. It was spoofed so many times.
And even Mission Impossible, the franchise, try to kind of recapture that.
It's like almost every movie, there's one of those scenes.
Yeah.
Where you're, like, really tense, like, ooh! And that was a good scene.
Oh, yeah,
it
worked.
Sweat is dripping.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If there's a drop of sweat, the alarms will go off and what have you. And it was okay. I wasn't blown away, like, that's the most amazing thing ever. It didn't surprise me when I heard he got a sequel.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The sequel, that one might be my least favorite one.
That's what everybody says. Directed by John Woo. Came out in 2000.
Was it 2000?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One thing I remember about this one... I believe this was the one that had either Limp Bizkit or Metallica that did remixes.
It was Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, they did
Also, the first Mission Impossible had Eric Clapton and Larry Mullen. I'm hoping I'm getting their names right. They're the rhythm section of U2.
Oh, okay.
And they did a little, like, not an electronica version, but like a techno-y
updated version. For the 90s.
That thing was cool. That was a slick little melody that they wrote. Then for the John Woo version, yes, they got Limp Bizkit to create a... And you know what? The heavy guitar riff of the dun-dun-dun, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
But they made a whole song about it. And then the singing comes in, and you're like, fast forward, I don't really care. Dun-dun-dun. Yeah, this sounds cool.
That's your mean potatoes right there.
Yeah.
Don't mess with that.
No, I wasn't listening to audio cassettes in 2000. Actually, you know what?
Maybe, I probably was, yeah.
Maybe occasionally I was, because I didn't want to buy the CD of a few tapes I had. But, okay, the bad guy in that movie was Doug Ray Scott. Who walked away from being Wolverine?
That's right.
To be the villain of this movie, I think we did.
Yeah.
I guess he thought it was more high profile. He's the villain as opposed to. I bet that guy is like just kicking himself.
It goes back to the time frame. It's like comic book movie. I ain't gonna do that.
Yeah. What? X-Men? What is this? A comic book? Mm. Yeah. Hell with this. Who else?
And we never heard from him again.
Right.
Like, what's the last thing he's done?
He was like the bad guy of Taken 3.
Wow,
he was like the cheating husband or something. Not the cheating husband, but the guy who framed Liam Neeson.
He signed that paperwork for Taken 3. He's like, I'm back, baby.
Yeah, I'm back. Part 3 of a geriatric action movie. Yeah.
Ugh.
I can't remember what he's been in lately. That was the first. I was like, hey, it's Doug Ray Scott. I haven't seen him in a while.
Ever since
I don't remember much else. I don't remember which scene was the. No, I take it back. There is one awesome scene in that movie that clenches my butthole. And it's the very beginning when he's mountain climbing.
Oh,
where he's hanging by the mountains just with no gear, no ropes, nothing. He's just with his hands. And
I think you're right, yeah.
And he slips and he's hanging right there. And then, of course, he has both hands, but he lets one hand go to dangle from the one hand all dramatically. And my butthole was clenched up so much, I gotta admit, I hate heights. And that was a pretty good opening scene.
Yeah.
That was probably the best scene of the movie to me. There was some cool action. You know, John Woo's a great action director. There was some cool motorcycle chases, a lot of doves. It's a John Woo movie. Of course, he got some doves.
He loves them doves.
That's all I remember about it.
Yeah, I don't think it's the strongest one out of the franchise.
It's not a bad movie, but probably the weakest one for me.
Now, when we get to Mission Impossible 3.
Yes.
That
was what it was called, just Mission Impossible 3, right?
Yeah, it was before like the little subtitles.
MI3, I think is what...
Yeah. Well, the marketing for it, yeah.
That one might be my favorite.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams.
J.J. Abrams joining the fray.
Wasn't this around the same time as he was doing Alias?
Or he had just wrapped up Alias, but Mission Impossible 3 is like a really long episode of Alias. Jennifer Garner's character, Sydney Bristow, for at least the first few seasons, was always trying to keep her secret agent life a secret from her friends and stuff like that. So it was like a secret identity almost. Mm-hmm. And they played with that theme a lot. The movie kind of plays with that too, because he's trying to hide it from his wife. And
kind of starts
like
off.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of like, this is like an episode of Alias, when you think about it.
Yeah.
And you got Philip Seymour Hoffman, who
played great villain.
Great villain. Very subdued role. Yeah. The way he plays
just
it.
Just that opening scene.
Really calm, you know.
Yeah.
You have a girlfriend. I'm a her. Yeah. It's pretty cool. And then, well, the opening scene, you're right. And that's another thing. Alias, I don't know if they kicked off this trend of starting it, because they do it on TV all the time, mm-hmm. where they start off with like an action sequence, and they give you like a minute's worth. Yeah. And then it ends in a suspenseful note, and then it says like 3 days earlier. And then the whole episode is setting
like
up.
It's too cliche now. Like, everybody.
Exactly.
Has
but it. When the movie did it, and I don't know if a lot of movies had started out like that too. But
no,
Alias.
Movies didn't know.
Alias had already been doing it for a while. So again, you're like, that's pure
I think
JJ.
If I'm not mistaken, that's how Alias opened. Like, the first.
Yeah, she's getting tortured. She's actually getting
tortured.
The blue
tortured, hair, the blue hair,
the chair. The red hair, and she's getting tortured by the guy, by the bad guy from the beginning of Indiana Jones 2. You're right. Oh my god! And Ethan Hunt is tied up in a chair getting tortured. Holy crap! That is exactly how the pilot of Alias opened. I never even thought about
that. That old JJ
loves to open with their hero getting tortured.
So is The Force Awakens going to open with like a big like battlefield in space like Star Trek did? Or
yeah, Han Solo is going to be getting like tortured and stuff, and he's like, "No, let me go! I have to get to the Denny's early bird special." Because I'm 70 now.
Dude, I'm looking forward to start. Okay, that's another story. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. We're now talking about JJ. Okay, Miss Marvel 3. Pretty good movie.
I think it was a return to say, okay, this could still go places with this franchise.
Yeah. Was there a really tense scene in that movie where you're like, was there a butt pucker scene in that movie? I don't know if there was. I think it was overall pretty good, but... it had a really good cast. We got Lawrence Fishburne. We got introduced to Simon Pegg in this movie. Yeah. Maggie Q, John Rhys-Davies. Good supporting cast. Mm-hmm. Billy Crudup. Pretty good movie, yeah. A lot of running. Tom Cruise, of course, running. We're going to talk about his running a lot. Guy likes to run.
That was this, was that part three? Was the end where he's in China
or somewhere?
Yeah. He's running.
And it's that really long shot of him running. Okay. Yeah. Because there's like this YouTube video called like the evolution of Tom Cruise running.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
And it's playing that song by Soul Asylum, that Runaway Train, and it's just a clip of all of his running, and it ends with him with that long take, and they're like, "This we seriously didn't edit this. This is a shot from the movie where the camera is just." I mean, the what's cool about that scene is that it shows you we're really filming,
right?
And that's what the scene was meant to be. But people just joke like, "Wow, Tom
that's Cruise, all. That's all they focus
Tom
on.
Tom Cruise loves to run." Yeah. So. Anyway, so that was part three. Then part four, Ghost Protocol.
Yeah, that's the first one. We get like little subtitles on the name instead of the numbers.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, now it's just.
Well, I think I read a long time ago that Hollywood was trying to get away from numbers because they found that people found like sequels, like another one. Mm-hmm. So instead of Ice Age 3, it's Ice Age Meltdown, or it's X Men United or X Men Last Stand. They started dropping numbers.
Yeah,
from movies.
That makes sense. I can see there's.
Because if you go, I would like to see Mission Impossible Part 5. That sounds like Part 5. Seriously, they're still milking that. I guess, but this Part 4, Ghost Protocol, directed by Brad Bird. When did that one come out?
That was in 2011.
4 years ago.
Yeah, 2011.
Four years ago. Yeah.
It took you know what 5 years since between Part 3 and Part 4. So this was, it's definitely not a reboot. It is a sequel, but it's just it had a different feel to it, a different vibe. I guess different. Well, because all the movies, they have, like, different directors that kind of take over.
Yeah, I mean, they all have a unique vibe.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I don't know. Part 4 just had a cast. This is when they brought in Jeremy Renner, also.
Yeah.
You know, more Simon Pegg was more involved in it.
Yeah, which I liked.
Yeah. So, I kind of picked this one a little bit more than maybe Part 2 and 3.
This one's your favorite.
Yeah, probably.
I think that this one is a close second.
So part three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because part three was the first one I really liked. So when part four came out, I was like, yeah, but that just meant you're staying good. Whereas part three was like, wow, you're finally good, I think.
But either way, if you say part three or part four, I mean, they're both.
When I think of part four, we're talking about butt pucker scenes.
Oh, yeah.
This one, part four, has what is, we've only seen the first four, probably the best scene the whole franchise to me.
Right.
Was where he's climbing the giant glass the tallest tower in, was he in Dubai or something like that?
Yeah.
That scene, which he really did. It was a practical stunt that Tom Cruise really did.
He did that?
He was really out there. On the. I mean, he had some ropes, and I think they erased them digitally, but Tom Cruise was really out there, thousands of feet in the air, climbing that building. It was crazy. I mean, come on. Kramer credit, dude. Tom Cruise, he's in his 50s now, and he's still doing these crazy stunts.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I'm not going to give him crap for it.
Yeah, like Jackie Chan would high-five him, like, good job on that shit, man. He's he's still a hard-working actor, yeah.
Yeah. And for the most part, and we'll get to this here in just a minute, I mean, these last, like, 5 or 6 years, it's been all action movies.
Yeah.
For the most part.
I don't know if that's a good thing, per se. I mean, he looks great for his age and all that, but, like, all he's doing is action movies. And most of them in the last 5 or 6 years have been more missed than hit, in my opinion. They're not terrible movies, but...
They're not blockbusters.
They're not, I don't know, just, like, well, okay. What else did you like about Ghost Protocol?
I think I just said.
What did you think of the bad guy? Can you even remember him?
There was a bad guy?
He was a little forgettable. They didn't have much of a villain in that movie, and his plot was to just blow up a nuclear weapon. Mm. That old cliche. The bad guy was, I can't pronounce it, his last name. It's like Michael, it's like N-V-Q-U-I. It's like, he was the dude who, okay, the girl with the dragon tattoo, the Swedish movies, he was the main dude. He was the Daniel Craig of that.
Oh, okay.
So he was a big deal, you know, in other foreign movies.
Mm-hmm.
He was also the bad guy from John Wick. The Russian gangster.
Oh, okay.
He didn't... yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
John Wick. I loved him in John Wick as the bad guy, yeah. He doesn't really do much in this movie at all, to be honest. Half the movie he spends with a fake face on him anyways.
We need to do an episode on John Wick.
That was a great movie. I was watching it the other day. Keanu. Like a week ago. We can do a spoiler on Keanu.
Yeah.
But yeah, it had a pretty weak villain. I think that's a big. That's what I'm saying. Philip Hoffman was pretty good.
You know,
you couldn't even remember.
You know what? You're turning me around on it. You know, you're making me double guess myself. But I'm thinking, yeah. I mean, just because the villain aspect of things.
Yeah, because that was a big. You know, a good action movie is only strong as its villain.
Yeah.
So like Die Hard is considered one of the best action movies ever because it has one of the greatest villains ever. But yeah, Keanu, write that down.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm hoping this Rogue Nation is going to be pretty good. It looks good. It looks like it's got the butt pucker scene.
Oh,
the plane. Yeah. Everybody's talking about that scene. So, I'm hopeful. I think Simon Pegg is in this again, and I think Ving Rhames has gotten a bigger role, too. So,
I do like the fact that they do...
Doing well.
Yeah, and we talk about, you know, Ving Rhames being in all the movies, but lately they've been keeping, you know, people like Simon Pegg and, you know, Jeremy Renner's back in this one, too, I believe.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's... They're getting more
consistent. Now they're starting... You know, there's... We're talking about franchise mentality. Now Hollywood has a universe mentality.
Mm-hmm.
They're creating a universe of, you know.
Yeah.
Because I think I heard when they gave Jeremy Renner that role, they wanted him to, like, either continue the franchise himself or spin off the franchise. Wasn't same thing with Bourne.
I was about to say, wasn't the
idea with Bourne? He sort of got the two big spy franchises.
Well, shit, all power to him, I guess.
Yeah. And I hear he's going to be the next Bond. No.
Okay, I was going to say, what?
No, his hands are too ugly to be James Bond. But, okay, so yeah, those are Mission Impossible franchises, but yeah, he's had a long...
As long as I've been alive, I mean, it's always been... Tom Cruise has been somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Can't remember an age when I didn't know...
Somewhere, some shape or form, like, Tom Cruise is doing something.
No, personally, I think maybe my first introduction to Tom Cruise might have been in The Outsiders.
Okay.
Now, I didn't say, like, that's Tom Cruise in that movie. But, you know, as years went on, I did remember that's the guy from Outsiders.
Well, because, you know, that movie came out, what, in 83?
I think so. Yeah. That sounds about right.
I didn't see that movie until I was in high school. It was like,
seriously?
Yeah, it was, I was...
That was, like, I can't remember an age I didn't know Outsiders.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel deprived, but, yeah. It's just one of those, it was a psychology or sociology class, whatever, where we watched that movie for...
They made us read that book in junior high, yeah. That's funny. Because I was like, seriously? Because that's an awesome movie. Like, this isn't learning. This is awesome. And then we're
supposed to... See, kids, learning's fun.
I think we read the book, and then we were supposed to watch the movie, but they couldn't get a hold of it, so they showed us just some other Matt Dillon movie. So it's the same thing. They both have Matt Dillon in it. After reading the book, we got, like, some shitty movie.
Learning.
Yeah. Learning. But I remember him. He played Steve, you know, ain't nobody gonna call the fuzz in this neighborhood. Like, I remember specific lines. He was a small part of it. It was a big ensemble, and he was a piece of it.
That was kind of, I don't want to say this, that wasn't the start of the Brat Pack, was it? Some pieces of it? Because that was early 83.
The Brat Pack? No. No, that wasn't. That did have Rat Pack members.
Yeah.
But it was well, a it thing. Had Rob Lowe and Emilio, who became Rat Pack members, but no, that wasn't.
That was before. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
All right. What was your first, memory of Tom Cruise, if you will?
All right. I'm going to, I'm going to say it. It's probably obvious for a lot of people.
Cocktail.
Yeah, it was actually.
No, seriously?
No. Top Gun.
Yeah, of course. Top Gun.
Damn, what can you, this movie.
It resonates. If you play, Highway to the Danger Zone, so you're thinking, oh, is somebody watching Top Gun?
Yeah, right. Unless you're born later and it's like, where's Archer at? Or, it's. Because Archer kind of stole the Danger Zone thing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I totally forgot he does that. He loves to, pump himself up with that song.
There's a whole episode where he met Kenny Loggins.
My God, I totally forgot that. That was hilarious. Because I love that song, too. Yeah. And that song does pump me up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good driving. It's like if I'm in a hurry or going down the freeway. It's like
it's a good song when you're flying.
Oh, I'm going to take a word on that one.
Yeah. Everybody, yeah. It, as a naval aviator, that movie was like gospel to us. I remember one time when I was in school still, they was playing at a theater. Sometimes they'll just bring out an old movie for funsies. And we all got our bomber jackets on, and five of us wore that. I think two of us had aviators on, and we're like one for Top Gun, and we all went into it. And it was so much fun, because everybody in the theater obviously had seen this 100 times. So we were all kind of heckling it and making fun of it, but nobody cared. Nobody was like, hey, this guy's talking. Nobody... Speaking of which, I actually saw Top Gun at the Alamo Drafthouse in what they were calling Hecklevision, which is they give you a phone number or something, and you could text jokes, and it would show up underneath on the screen.
Oh, really?
That's cool. And you had to come up with your own screen name, and it was just like sliding like the old TV Guide channel.
Yeah,
sort of just sliding through as people were texting jokes.
Pop-up video on VH1. Or
is that... Well, it wasn't random. It was just scrolling through the bottom. Like, I remember that one scene where him and Goose are getting yelled at by Strickland or somebody, and they're both at attention, and my joke was like, how many phone books do you think Tom Cruise is standing on in this scene? And it got like a laugh, and I was like, I'm like looking around as my joke comes up, gauging the audience, and I hear laughs, I'm like, yes! Like, that one played, and then there was jokes I would make, and nobody laughs, I'm like, shit. But Top Gun the movie, I'm just talking about the influence it's had on my life.
Yeah.
That was like the biggest recruiting tool. For the Navy.
Oh, I would think so.
Hollywood was like, what? The military was like, what? We can recruit by Hollywood movies? And after that, they started opening their doors and letting them shoot on bases, letting them use their planes and tanks and shit, because it glamorized the military and made people want to join. I heard that they were setting up recruiting booths in theaters.
Oh, that would not surprise me.
But, this was like one of the big... Tom Cruise is a star.
And besides just him being, star of the movie, just a movie just in by itself, it's a good movie. It's got Tony Scott. It's got a little bit of everything: action, drama, love story, romance, everything that anybody would want.
Val Kilmer chomping his teeth. I mean, it's got everything.
It's a category on its own, man.
Yeah. I'm Iceman. I don't know if you can hear it. Oh, that hurts.
It sounded like it hurt.
I know. I was really chomping my teeth. But Kelly McGillis, who famously years later turns out was a lesbian.
Yeah.
So
she was acting.
Yeah, acting. But the soundtrack, the Take My Breath Away, that song is still...
Everybody goes to the Danger Zone, Kenny Loggins, but that's another ballad, I guess. If you want to
the playing with the boys, the volleyball scene. One time we were playing volleyball at the beach, and I had that on my iPod, and I hooked it up to the stereo, and I started playing that song. And some people were like, what are we listening to? And I was like, you've never... Like, seriously, you never seen Top Gun? Get out of here.
The bar scene.
Dude, if I had a nickel for every time I've karaoke'd You've Lost That Loving Feeling, I'd have, 40 cents. But I swear, in Navy bars, you sing that song, everybody joins in. It's a good song because you get drowned out if you can't sing. Because the whole bar is singing along. Yeah. So it's a good song to do that, too. There's some songs like that you'll get everybody in, and you can sort of hide in the crowd. Mm-hmm. Billy Joel's Piano Man is another good one for that. There's a free tip for you. but, great soundtrack. Kenny Loggins.
What I remember about that, it's just my dad, my dad had a lot of, we're talking record vinyls albums, because that's all you had back then.
Yeah.
And cassette tapes.
Eight tracks.
Well, that's too, yeah. But I remember, having the record album in the big sleeve and everything, yeah. And just
sleeve,
yeah, and playing it on the record player and everything, and just Danger Zone. I would always go to fucking Danger Zone.
You're rocking out, it ends. You pick up the needle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't get what we're talking about on record players, just yeah.
But yeah,
I'm sorry.
To this day, if I'm riding my bike, and like, you know, I like to, you know, on a Saturday go out ride my bike for a while. If I see a plane in the air, I pump my fist like, oh yeah, while I'm riding my bicycle. Yeah. Yeah, I still do that. I mean, yeah, this was just such a fun movie. Like,
it introduced me to F-14s.
F-14s, that's so old right now. Yeah. That would get their asses kicked. But, yeah, and again, we were talking about it during the Masters Universe. You had Strickland, you had James Tolkien in it, you had Tom Skerritt. You had our boy from the Terminator movie, Rick Rossovich, a Slider.
Mm.
He was the Iceman. Oh, and we Goose.
Yes.
I dug out my old flight suit 1 year. Put some pale makeup on me and a lot of blood on my head, and I went as Zombie Goose. Oh, I had a fake mustache too.
Yeah,
but I was Zeus.
You need the mustache.
Yeah, I was Zeus. I was Goose after he was killed.
Zombie Goose.
Yeah, Zombie Goose, and it was a pretty good hit. Some people got it, and they're like, "Yeah, that's clever." Yeah, Top Gun. It's a big part of our consciousness as a public.
Yeah,
in pop culture.
I'm trying to think if there's anything we didn't mention that we need to mention about this one.
It got its Hot Shot spoofed it.
Yeah. Once you get a spoof, you know you did something.
Yeah, right? Only the best movies get made fun of on that level. Yeah, okay, on that, yeah, that's a good one to end it on.
All right, so you mentioned it a few minutes ago, but Top Gun, that's like what shot him off in the stratosphere on this one.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think kind of, you know, is a good movie to follow that up with?
Just in general?
Yeah, just what's another good Tom Cruise movie that you know of?
Okay, well, that showed he was a leading man. He was a Hollywood star. Mm. I don't want to dwell too much, but I think the first thing that made people notice that this guy could actually act was Born the 4th of July.
Yeah.
It was an Oliver Stone movie. He plays a kid who's just super patriotic. Yeah. You know, love it or leave it, you know?
All-American, yeah.
Yeah, he joins the military. I think it's been a year since I've seen this movie. I think he kills somebody with friendly fire, like, accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up getting shot, too, and he becomes paralyzed, and he comes back home, and the country he loves so much
doesn't
treat the veteran. Yeah. And Oliver Stone, who also did Platoon, who was also a Vietnam veteran himself, so this was, like, a personal story told from a guy who, you know, he actually fought in Vietnam, so, yeah. You know. But he did a really good job. I haven't seen the movie in, like, 10 years. And it's really vague, but I do remember thinking, even then, like, wow, Tom Cruise really can't act.
Yeah. I haven't seen it since, you know, it came out when I was, you know, as a kid, yeah. You know, so I haven't really gotten
it. Yeah, I didn't see it until I was, like, 20 or something.
Yeah, but I know this movie's more revered for his performance than the actual movie itself.
Yeah, I think maybe you're right. That's why I said I haven't gone back and watched it a whole lot. But that's, like, an important footnote, because whenever people like argue that Tom Cruise is just a movie star but he's not a good actor, but you can always sort of pull, hey, have you seen Born the 4th of July? People always sort of pull that one up.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's, you know, like, he was all over the place in the 80s. We didn't mention this one. This came out before Top Gun, and it's more, there's one particular scene in this movie, and I'm going to be talking about Risky Business.
Mm.
It came out in 83. There's one scene in this movie.
That's that old?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Him and Rebecca De Mornay?
Yeah, yeah. And she's like a hooker?
Yeah.
Yeah, like his parents go away for the weekend.
Yeah, they go out for the weekend, like, and kind of cruises them around. Cruises.
Again, I've seen this like once years ago. You
know? Yeah, and there's that one scene, him home alone.
Dun, 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 dun. He slides into the frame. Again, I haven't seen this movie years,
iconic,
but I know that scene.
Yeah, iconic movie moment, I guess, if you want to say.
Yeah, that old time rock and roll, dancing in his underwear, sunglasses on, yeah, that big smile, yeah.
And it's been mocked, spoofed, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think that's pretty much the only thing that's...
That's all I remember about it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you love that movie, you know, more power. I haven't seen it in forever. It's probably a good movie. That's all I know about it. I'm sad to say.
Did you watch Legend?
I watched the hell out of Legend when I was a kid.
As a kid.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen it. But totally, dude. That movie, Tim Curry, particularly... I think he's the star of the movie. It's like Tim Curry above the title, Legend, featuring Tom Cruise, you know, and Billy Barty.
Yeah. Is it Mia Sara in there, too?
Mia Sara is a chicken in there, too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a cool movie. Ridley Scott, Tony Scott's brother.
Ah, yes.
So he's worked with both of them in the 80s.
There you go.
Both brothers. It was a cool movie. It's a fantasy movie, yeah. Fantasy flick. He plays like a Jack, like a
almost simple, like a Prince Charming type.
Like a farm boy kind of prince. Oh, because he comes from, like, meager... and then like his girlfriend gets kidnapped by. He's not the devil. He's the darkness is what they call him. Yeah, I hate when people say the devil from Legend. I'm like, he's darkness. Tim Curry, who is the Tim Curry is my shit. Tim Curry is my shit, yo, in that movie. He is awesome. The makeup. I wish I knew who did the makeup for that movie, but it is so cool.
Yeah.
And Tim Curry's voice. It's all about the voice, too.
Tim Curry can do no wrong.
Tim Curry is awesome. He deserves a spotlight, too. But yeah, there's, you know, there's unicorns and gnomes and fairies or elves or and cool stuff. And, you know, Tom Cruise is your little everyman. He gets thrown into it. Cool movie. I enjoy it. I'm trying to think what else. You know, another one that I think maybe showed, not so much that he can act. Well, yeah, this sort of showed his acting. Was in, I want to say it was in 94, Interview with the Vampire.
Okay.
That was a cool movie, dude. I remember when he got cast. It was kind of like Batfleck situation or Michael Keaton. Like, everybody's like, what? Tom Cruise? Everybody? Because those are pretty famous books.
Yeah.
And
the Anne Rice series.
Yeah, the Anne Rice. Yeah. The Vampire Chronicles or whatever they're called.
Was this the first Anne Rice
movie?
Yeah.
Like, film?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because there's been a few other ones after that, right?
Like, one.
Queen of the Damned.
Yeah.
That was the only one? That was the only one?
95% sure that she's never had another film adaptation. Yeah. And that movie's... whatever. but even, like, nobody was on board with this. If you've read the books, Lestat is like, he's not like that. Not Tom Cruise, like, seriously? And then I think I read that Anne Rice went and saw it, like, at the premiere, and kind of, like, endorsed it. Like, she even said, I was wrong. Tom Cruise was a great choice for this. Even Anne Rice admitted Tom Cruise did a great job in that movie. And he is really good and really memorable. And that's a great movie. Neil Jordan, I think, directed it. And you got, if you're a chick in the 90s, you got Brad Pitt, you got Christian Slater, you got Antonio Banderas, you got Tom Cruise. It's just like a smorgasbord of 90s hotties for the ladies.
Wait, Kirsten Dunst?
Young Kirsten Dunst, who did a really good job.
The creepy girl,
She did a really good job, too, I gotta admit.
Yeah, she did, yeah.
But Tom Cruise is so good. I mean, he's funny, but without being like overtly funny, that it sort of deflates the seriousness of the situation. He's just funny enough. He's just silly and fun enough, but still maintains the serious creepiness when he has to pull it out.
Yeah,
it's a really good job. He's really funny. I still quote, you know, little lines he says, the way he chuckles with his like with his napkin, and he could eat the whole colony. I do that sometimes. Yeah, he did a really good job in that. That's such a good movie. That's one of my favorite vampire movies, like, ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, there was another one in the early 90s that I really liked, and this is a pretty good movie, I think, overall, everybody agrees. A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
Another...
Rob Reiner.
Yeah, there you go. Well, another, you said a naval movie, right?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah, again, playing another naval...
Officer. Not an officer.
He was an officer.
Okay. But this came out in 92. And another, I guess you want to say an ensemble cast, but Demi Moore, Jack Nicholson.
Kevin Pollak.
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon.
Oh, that's right, the two Kevins.
the two Kevins, as they're known in Hollywood. Every time you see Kevin Bacon, you're like, where's Kevin Pollak? Aren't they attached to the hip?
Who's the better Kevin?
Bacon. he's got a game associated with him. That hurt to say, because I love Kevin Pollak, but come on. Kevin Bacon is Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with Bacon.
His last name is Bacon.
You can't go wrong with Bacon.
That's pretty... He's in a band called the Bacon Brothers.
There you go.
You don't get more awesome than that. But, yeah, A Few Good Men. I like that movie, too. And he did a good job being front and center leading man in this movie.
Yeah.
Everybody remembers Jack Nicholson, but Jack Nicholson was barely in this.
Yeah, and this is the one scene.
J.T. Walsh, another great actor who was in this movie. He passed away, but J.T. Walsh was in this, too. Cuba Gooding Jr. has a teeny-weeny scene.
That's right. He was one of the guys. He was one of the
Christopher Guest has a teeny weeny scene as a witness.
Okay, yeah.
Christopher Guest. He was in Princess Bride as a six fingered band. So him and Rob Reiner are simpatico.
Oh, okay, okay.
So they're simpatico. So he gives Christopher Guest a little bitty role. Rob Reiner, who did Spinal Tap, he's one of the members of Spinal Tap. So these guys have been working together, give you a role in a movie here and there. So that's always cool when you see. You're like, oh, that, I love when you can tell actors are friends and they're hooking each other up and working together and finding projects to do and shit like that. When you see an actor show up in another actor's project, you're like, that's cool.
Yeah.
It shows that they have friends and that they're cool enough that someone can tolerate them enough to be their friend.
Right.
Kind of a thing. At least that's what I took away from Christopher Guest's testimony.
Okay, so...
You can't handle the truth.
We just got...
Right.
That's like the you complete me of this movie.
Yeah, that's the and that's why everybody probably thinks that Jack Nicholson has a bigger role in this movie, because it's that one scene, right?
Yeah, that's probably the most famous scene in the movie, the most famous line. Because that is the you complete me, that is the show me the money of this movie.
And it's a drama, not an action or anything else like he's been, you know, he's done before in the past, so he's, you know, basically like the whole movie just trying to get facts and solve
remember
things.
Remember back in the day when we had a lot of courtroom drama movies in the 90s? You had, like, The Client and a Time to Kill, and if you go... Basically, every John Grisham movie was getting made into a movie, and they were all, like, courtroom movies.
Well, he was another one, The Firm, right?
The Firm, right?
Yeah.
Which is... Is that John Grisham?
Ooh, I think so.
I think it was. Yeah. I saw The Firm in the theaters. I can't remember a damn thing about it. I'm sorry.
Tom Cruise was in it, right?
Tom Cruise was in it. I think that's it. That's literally all I remember. I don't remember the bad guy, the female lead, the plot, whatsoever. I was probably like early teens, maybe. I don't know when it came out.
That had to be in 96.
That late? No, it couldn't have been that late. It's got to be early 90s. But yeah, I can't remember a damn thing about The Firm. But
93. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, 93.
Okay, yeah. See, I was too young to give a care. But for those of you who are paying attention, I was trying to segue into another... Tom Cruise movie with my Show Me the Moneys and my You Complete Me's.
Okay. Yeah.
And that is, of course, the 96. Was it 96?
Yeah, 96.
1996's Jerry Maguire.
Right.
Cameron Crowe movie. That was a big one. That was a big hit for him.
I think so.
Yeah. Again, those famous lines that are so quotable to this day.
Yeah. Show Me the Money, You Complete Me.
Yeah, big time, big time. It gave us Renee Zellweger for the most part.
A brain weighs 8 pounds, or I don't whatever
the human say. Head yeah. weighs 8 pounds. Yeah, the Jonathan Libnicki, the kid. Yeah,
yeah.
Cuba got an Oscar.
Yeah,
I think that's one of those cases where, in hindsight, maybe they wish they had gone another route. But he's certainly enjoyable, Cuba.
Yeah, he's just that memorable. One scene where he's, come on, Jerry.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun in this movie. Yeah. I don't know if he deserved an Oscar for it. I wish I knew who he was.
Who had a better performance in the movie? Tom Cruise or
Tom Cruise is kind of playing Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
You know? And Jerry Maguire.
Well, the freakout scene when he's leaving. Who wants to come with me?
Who's coming with me? Jan. Or not Jan, but Dorothy Boyd was her name. I'm doing the half-baked version.
Jan. Who is it, Jan?
In half-baked, it was Jan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Jerry Maguire, Jan. It was Dorothy Boyd. Yeah.
God, half-baked.
Yeah, even half-baked made fun of that Jerry Maguire scene.
Yeah.
Who else we got in that movie? You know, Jay Moore, Eric Stoltz. Ooh, Jerry Cantrell is in this movie.
Is he?
He's the photomat guy. When Jerry Maguire writes the mission statement,
shit, Jerry
Cantrell is the guy who hands him the mission statement cover. He goes, that's how you become great, man. Hang your balls out there. Jerry Cantrell looks like he's literally just came off the stage with long hair and beard. The singer, somewhat songwriter for, songwriter and somewhat singer for Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
One of my favorite. Cameron Crowe, as we all know, is a big
music guy,
yeah. But also loves the Seattle music scene. The movie Singles?
Oh, no.
He did a movie called Singles about, like, single people and all that kind of stuff. That movie had the whole Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, and Alice in Chains were in the movie.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. The movie Singles is worth watching it just to just see cameos of all this. Because Matt Dillon's character is like the lead singer of a grunge band, but all of his band is Pearl Jam.
Oh, really?
Eddie Vedder included, yeah. And then there's scenes that just take place at clubs while Soundgarden is playing. Or no. There's a scene where Matt Dillon, like, I put some speakers into your car, honey, and he starts playing it really loud, and the whole neighborhood starts coming out to see what's going on. And Chris Cornell... Lead singer comes out and is like rocking out, like, that sounds badass. And then it starts breaking the car windows and all that kind of shit. But Chris Cornell's rocking out. It's a really cool movie just for the Seattle grunge cameos.
I have to check that one out.
Tom Cruise. What the hell are we talking about?
That was a big segue.
That was a big segue.
Yeah.
Really quick, though, we mentioned Jerry Maguire, written, directed by Cameron Crowe. Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise worked with him again a few years later in 2001.
Wait. For
Vanilla Sky.
Yeah, 2001. Yeah.
Vanilla Sky. Which is a remake of a Mexican film called Abre los Ojos, called Open Your Eyes.
Okay. I've never seen Vanilla Sky, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Is it?
It's okay. Pretty cool. I actually kind of enjoy the hell out of that movie. Was based on I want to say it's a Mexican film. Might be a Spanish film. Don't quote me.
Okay.
I saw it once after I saw Vanilla Sky because I wanted to see the original. What's funny is the original version stars Penelope Cruz as the female lead.
So the original one does.
The original does.
Okay.
So when they remade it for American audiences, they cast Penelope Cruz as the female lead. So she plays the same role in two different movies.
Hmm.
Which is, you know, kind of a cool fact.
Yeah.
And yeah, he met Penelope on this movie, and Penelope Cruz and Tom Cruise dated for a while.
Yeah.
I think their celebrity couple name was Cruz. C R U I Z, maybe? I don't know. But, dude, you would enjoy Vanilla Sky for one reason, and that is Jason Lee. He is hilarious in this movie. He steals every scene he's in.
Like, I knew he was in that movie.
He's such a likable character in this movie. He's the kind of guy you want as your friend. He's just a cool guy.
Well, I think that anyways of Jason Lee, so.
Yeah. Jason Lee plays Jason Lee in this movie. He's just really awesome. You got Kurt Russell in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just...
Now you're selling me just on those two things.
It's a cool movie. It's a little bit of a head trip. It's got some twists and turns to it.
Yeah.
It's a really cool movie.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell you too much, because like I said, it's like a twisty, turny movie.
All right. Well, you just mentioned there he was dating Penelope Cruz,
mm-hmm.
but he's kind of known for either who he's dating or who he's married to. Mm-hmm. The first, I guess famous one was Nicole Kidman.
No, Mimi Rogers.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that one. How long was that? Was that a long?
I don't remember. I mean, this was back in the day.
Yeah.
In the 80s.
Yeah. I'm more familiar with him and Nicole Kidman.
I think they met in the early 90s.
Was it during when they were doing the Far and
Away? Far and Away, I think, is when they met. What year was that? I want to say that's early 90s. I've never seen Far and Away.
Yeah.
I've got some friends who say it's a good movie.
Yeah.
So I've always wanted to kind of give it a chance, but I never... It's sort of never crossed paths with it.
Yeah, it's that particular movie didn't really appeal to me. So it was like,
but yeah, I want to say he was married to Mimi Rogers just in the 80s. That's as specific as I can get.
So you're probably right somewhere in there. Yeah.
And then in the I want to say early 90s maybe is when he met Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
In Far and Away,
mm-hmm.
and they do a romantic. And then I think after that they did Days of Thunder together.
Yes.
Which I've never seen. Have you seen that one?
As a kid, I've seen bits and pieces of it. My parents are big NASCAR fans, so
really,
yeah,
that's funny.
Well, they were. They don't really watch it anymore. But back in the 90s and the 80s, yeah, they were really into that. So my dad more so. My mom just kind of watched it because my dad watched it. but that's the only reason they watched it. So I would, you know, kind of see it every once in a while. So
did Tony Scott do that one?
I want to say yes.
I think so. The only reason I'm kind of curious about that movie is I think isn't Michael Rooker like his competition guy? Like there's not the villain, but he's like the, you know, he's competing with like another driver. I want to say it's Michael Rooker, and I think there's like a scene where they're both in a hospital and they're in like wheelchairs and they're kind of going down the and they start racing each other like in the wheelchairs down the hospital because these guys are just like so competitive. I could just be talking out of my ass, but I think that's the scene. I think I was flipping channels one day, and I was like, oh, this must be Days of Thunder. Tony Scott did direct Days of Thunder.
Okay.
And Michael Rooker is in the movie.
Okay.
I don't know if what I just said still holds up or not, but yeah, he's in it. So is Robert Duvall, Randy Quaid, Cary Elwes, John C. Reilly. Maybe I should go check out this movie. Obviously, I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now, all of a sudden, I'm kind of intrigued to check out this movie.
Well, there you go. That's our homework for the night, right?
There you go. Go watch Days of Thunder. And that concludes the good show. No. We still got quite a few more to get through.
Yeah.
What are some other ones off the top of your head that you enjoyed? Give me a good one. I want a good one.
Not more or less a Tom Cruise movie, but Rain Man.
Okay. I guess you could say he was a star, but when you think about that movie, it's all about the performance of Sir Dustin Hoffman.
Right, there you go.
I don't think he's really a knight. I just think he's a good actor.
It warrants it. But that came out in 88. This is another iconic movie, just with some of the scenes and the imagery of them like coming down with this.
Coming down the stairs? Yeah. And that's the escalator.
Escalator, yeah.
Yeah, I think Hangover made fun of that scene.
Yeah, I think that's been made fun of.
Yeah.
Or spoofed.
Were they even playing that song that was in that movie, The I go with my grandma and your grandma.
Oh, it was some kind of montage. It was some kind of montage. Yeah. I can't remember what the song was, but yeah.
Actually, you know what? Wasn't he listening to that song in Mission Impossible 2 when he's mountain climbing?
Was he?
I think he was. I think they're playing that song while he's mountain climbing. I never even got. Maybe that was a reference to Rain Man. It might have been.
Well, there you go.
Huh? I should look into that too. Yeah, obviously that was Dustin Hoffman's movie. I think he got the Oscar for that.
I think Did he?
Tom Cruise pretty much plays it straight. Tom Cruise, Valerio Golino's in it too. He finds out he has like a long, not a long lost brother. I think his father dies, mm-hmm. and then while like going through his father's will and effects, he finds out that his father's been taking care of this other guy his whole life. Turns mm-hmm. out to be his brother.
Yeah,
and then he kind of tries to exploit his brother by taking him to Vegas because he learns his brother can count cards and he's autistic and all that kind of stuff. But everybody knows, everybody's got a Rain Man person. You know, 30 minutes to WAP and everything. You know, everybody's that's. Dustin Hoffman's performance in that movie is part of our cultural conscience.
What was the condition? It wasn't autistic, was it?
Not autistic.
Because that wasn't autistic wasn't a thing back then. It was, I don't know what they called it.
He had some sort of mental disability, but it might have been a form of autism. But
anyway, it was a good performance.
It was a great performance. Yeah. So that's, I do remember that.
There were some other ones in the '80s. Maybe they weren't all great. There were some hits and misses along, but some of them that I recall, just growing up with, Cocktail, Color Money.
The only thing I remember about Cocktail is Aruba, Jamaica.
Yeah.
Ooh, I want to take you to Bermuda. Bahama. That's all I remember about Cocktail was that song, the Beach Boys song, Kokomo. There you go.
Yeah. There you go.
It's called Kokomo. And I remember it won the Best Song Award at the Kids' Choice Awards 1990, I think. I remember watching it. And I remember the winner being Kokomo. Don't ask me why that's a useless fact rattling in my head for the last 25 years. But
but now you had a platform to say it.
Thank you. And now this is why we started this. What was the other one you said? You said one of
Color Money with Paul Newman?
Color Money, yes. Yeah. That was a pretty cool movie.
That's a cool movie.
That's a cool movie. Yeah. Directed by Martin Scorsese.
There you go.
Starring Paul Newman. A sequel, actually, to The Hustler, in which, I want to say Jackie Gleason was the pool shark taking on the young protege played by a young Paul Newman.
Really? Okay, I did not know that.
Yeah, he was Fast Eddie. So years later, we get like a sequel where now Fast Eddie is the old pool hustler taking on the young protege, which is Tom Cruise's Vince.
I've only known it as Color of Money. I never...
Yeah. So that's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah.
And Vince... Tom Cruise wears this black t-shirt with the word Vince right across his shirt. And every time I go to a pool hole and I'm doing kind of good and I've had a few beers, I start doing the, ha! Where he's, like doing, the samurai sword with the pool cue. Ha! And he's, whipping it or, like nunchucking it over his shoulder. I start to do that from copying it. Also, that song, if I'm at a pool hall and there's a jukebox, I will put some money in to play Warren Zevon's Werewolves of London. Because that's the song they played during a pool montage. Because I love that song while playing pool, because of that movie. But again, it's been so long. I watched that movie a few times when I was a kid, and I haven't seen it in so long.
Yeah, just to recap in case you missed it at the start of the show, this is kind of on the fly episode, so we haven't really done any.
I didn't do my due diligence, make any notes and facts. So I'm just sort of pulling up what I think
of. Just going off memories. Yeah,
when I think of this movie.
What about?
But speaking of Tom Cruise using samurai swords,
I see what you did there,
if you will, and I'm really proud that we actually did a proper segue.
Is this gonna be the last time we're gonna do that?
What,
with the samurai?
I hope so.
Like a last samurai.
Oh!
Damn, you didn't get it.
I didn't get it. I really didn't get it. The last time we do that with the samurai. Yeah, Last Samurai, Edward Zwick movie. What year was this? 2003. Holy shit. I thought it was newer than that. I like Last Samurai. It's kind of like one of those... It's like that story we've seen a million trillion times. The Pocahontas, the Dance with Wolves, mm-hmm. the Dune, the Fern Gully, the Avatar, where like the white guy sort of hangs out with the thought of primitive culture, learns mm-hmm. to love them, embraces them, and then fights with them against the white man. Or the Harkonnens, if we're talking about Dune specifically. but it's that old story we've seen 100 times. But it's a good story. It's probably why we keep doing it over and over again.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I haven't seen this one.
Oh, it's really good, dude. Yeah. Ken Watanabe.
Watanami.
I'm hoping
I butchered that name last time on the Batman episode, so I just wanted to say Watanami on this one correctly.
Yeah, he plays this samurai dude. And Tom Cruise is like a Civil War quote-unquote hero. Who's become like drunk and he's just gotten and then Tony Goldwyn, who's a bad guy in Ghost, he's on Scandal now, who's like a superior officer, hires him to come to Japan to train Japanese soldiers in the art of military you know, muskets and military formation and all that to fight some rebels, which are old school bow and arrow, samurai sword, badass samurai. A lot of good action, a lot of cool, beautiful scenery. Look, I think it's filmed in Japan, and you know,
so the battle scenes themselves, they're
really good choreographed sword fights and stuff. Yeah. A lot of good action. It's a really cool movie, and like I said, it's that old story we've heard 100 times.
Is it more of action or drama? Or
It's clearly a drama with action in it.
Okay,
it's like Dancing with Wolves. You know, Dancing with Wolves had a few raids and you know, a couple battles at the end. It's kind of the same thing. Okay. I'd put it in the drama section if I was running a video store.
The hell's a video store?
That was a building you can go and rent VHS tapes.
Like Redbox?
Something like that. It's like a gigantic Redbox. It was a big Redbox with people in it. Basically.
You gotta use your hands?
It's like a baby's toy. What else has he done?
You know, there's one that came out in 2004. It's probably not his most well-known movie. I really enjoyed it when it came out. Directed by Michael Mann. Collateral, with him and Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Just his character and just the
Tom Cruise was a bad guy.
Yeah.
I think that's the first and only.
And I think that's what I like about it. It's kind of like, it's different. I was like, oh, okay, this is...
He was really good.
Yeah.
It's almost like he did it to remind people, you know, I could do more than just be the big smile front and center. Yeah. I could do a little bit more.
He had the gray hair. Everything just like, you know...
Yeah. He was and you know what? Even though he was a bad guy, I was still rooting for him.
Yeah.
I wanted him to kill his people and get away. I didn't want to see him go down.
This is a hitman. He's doing his job.
I liked him. Yeah, and he was really cool to Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx did a good job in that movie, too.
That was one of the really, like, ooh, Jamie Foxx is not just, you know, Wanda from A Living Color. Yeah, Jamie Foxx can kind of act, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, he goes, I'll give you, you know, yes, I'm a hitman. Yes, I just, you're an accessory to murder because of me. I'll give you, like, thousands of dollars, you know, for the night. He was willing to hook him up, and he didn't want Jamie Foxx to go down. He wasn't being a dick about it.
Right. Yeah.
He wasn't an unlikable villain, if you will.
Yeah.
He was really good in that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, it probably doesn't get a lot of recognition, but I put it up there.
I think it did at the time, and then it kind of just
feels like, or yeah, just kind of,
it was, know, like a blip for a while there. But for a while there, everybody was talking about how good he was in that. Yeah. Totally. Totes, my goats. Speaking of being good, we're talking about, he's got a few blips of, like, he has to remind us that he can act.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I think the best performance I've ever seen him do was in Magnolia in 99?
Yeah, 99.
Damn, right on the money.
There you go.
He lost that year. He was nominated.
Was he?
Okay. He lost that year to Michael Caine. And I only remember that because Michael Caine made a joke in his acceptance speech to Tom Cruise.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. He's like, if you had won this, like, your price would have gone down so much. Do you know how much supporting actors make? And they cut to Tom Cruise in the smile, in the audience with that big Tom Cruise smile. but yeah, I think Michael Caine took his Oscar that year for Cider House Rules.
Mm.
Michael Clark Duncan was also nominated for
Green Mile?
Green Mile that year, yeah. But Tom Cruise in this movie, and this is, again, a big ensemble. This is not a Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah.
This is just a huge ensemble of characters, but it's like a three-hour movie, so Tom Cruise gets a good amount of screen time. He plays like a... have you seen this movie?
No.
Oh, he plays like a guy who sells, like, on TV videos, like self-help videos for how to get laid.
Okay.
Like, he has seminars that guys pay. He, you know, he's up there with his little wireless Peter Gabriel microphone,
right,
explaining how to get women into bed and blah, blah. He's like a guru, a self. He's like Tony Robbins meets Hugh Hefner, sort of a thing like that, selling shit. And that's like one. That's how you meet his character. And all the while, it's like one of those movies where it's like 7-8 stories going on at once, and then they all start to come together.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And then Jason Robards is a man who's like in hospice, on his deathbed, dying.
I remember there was something about someone on deathbed.
Yeah, Jason Robards is dying, and he asks his nurse, played by Philip Hoffman, who is great in this movie. That guy doesn't know how to not be great. It's ridiculous how good he is, even in this movie. And he sort of tells him as he's dying, he's like, I got this son. I haven't talked to him in 20 years. So Philip Hoffman tracks down Tom Cruise and brings him to his father's deathbed. And Tom Cruise is sitting there watching his father die, hating him because he abandoned him. And he's like... He's shaking. He's trying not to cry, but he's crying anyway. And he's like, you fucking asshole. It's really powerful scene.
Wow.
It's really good. why they gave it to Michael Caine. I think it was one of those Michael Caine's going to die next year, probably like that. They didn't realize he's going to make 100 fucking movies since then. And they figured Tom Cruise probably got a few more in the chamber for an opportunity to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
But, dude, Tom Cruise was amazing in this movie, dude. It's almost worth it to see it for him. But it's full of great performances all around. Julianne Moore is in it. William H. Macy is in it. Yeah. It's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. Magnolia gets a lot of hate. A lot of people hate this movie because it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah?
If I decide I want to turn you off in this movie, I'll just tell you how it ends. It starts to rain frogs. Yeah, so it's a weird movie. It loses a lot of people, but there are some really strong performances in it. Tom Cruise, maybe among the best one in this whole movie.
Okay.
And I think the Oscar that year was his to lose, which he lost. So, yeah, that was, again, sort of Tom Cruise reminding the people, I'll take a small role in a movie because I want to let y'all guys know I can act when I feel like it.
Yeah.
When I don't feel like being the biggest movie star in the world.
Well, okay, well, I'll definitely have to check that one out because I don't know, around that time frame, I just, for whatever reason, like, I wasn't into...
It was 99?
Yeah.
That was when I was in my pretentious phase, becoming like a movie buff, watching any kind of artsy, indie, anything I could get my hands on. Yeah. Turning, snubbing my nose at the Armageddon, please. You're going to go watch Armageddon? I'm going to go over here down the hall and watch Gods and Monsters. Thank you very much. You know, I think that was me at 18, 19. Yeah.
Did you use that voice too?
Probably. Yeah. No, it was probably more like this. Apparently I was Jay Leno when I was 19 years old.
But he did some other, you just said blips, and he wanted to do like small roles here and there in some other movies. Austin Powers, I think the third one?
Dude, like 3 days ago, I was watching those food channels and VH1, and it said, it was like it started at 9 o'clock, and it was like 8:59, and it said Austin Powers Gold Member.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to watch the first 5 minutes of this just to see Tom Cruise. And I sat through it just because I wanted to watch Tom Cruise.
It was a good bit.
It was a cool little bit. Yeah. It showed he had a sense of humor, wanted to be funny. He plays Austin Powers in like...
They were making an Austin Powers movie.
They're making an Austin Powers... Steven Spielberg
was
making an Austin Powers movie with Tom Cruise, Gwyneth Paltrow, Kevin Spacey, and... was it? Hey, asshole! I'm Mini-Me! With Danny DeVito.
Yes.
That's Mini-Me. I just wanted to... I watched that little bitty bit, and then, you know, then they did the opening number, and I think I sat through that too, and then I changed it.
Yeah.
But, that was a cool little thing. He said, like, he had, like, one line.
Like, well,
I have a baby or something like that.
Yeah, it's just
Should we shag now or shag later? I think that's all he says in it.
Yeah, just having fun with it.
Yeah, that's pure cameo.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, it's fucking Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
He also did not a cameo. It was a bit more than a cameo.
Role,
but it was clearly a small supporting role to show people he was, again, like we said, he was more than just it was Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, that was, this is the movie itself. I mean, this is the cast itself. Robert Downey Jr. coming off of
Iron Man.
Yeah, that was right after Iron Man, right?
I think so. He was still riding that comeback.
Ben Stiller.
He was securing his A-list comeback, if you will. Yeah, Ben Stiller.
Yeah, and then
Jack Black.
Yeah, Jack Black. Mm-hmm. And that was good to see Jack Black in with. I mean, it was good just them three together.
That movie probably would have done great on the strength of those three guys.
Yeah,
but the cherry on top is Tom Cruise. In a bald wig and fat makeup and like fat gloves, because he uses his hands a lot. He's very effusive, waving his hands around. You could tell he has like fat fingers. Like he wore like fat makeup on his hands and hairy, like hairy knuckles and rings and things like that, like ring finger. Yeah. Les Grossman, I think,
was the character's name.
He was like this big Uber producer who cussed like a lot.
I want to go back and read. I want to go back and watch the movie.
Like, do me a favor and like bend over and fuck your own face or something like that. Yeah, and people were talking about. You kept hearing reviewers and people commentators saying like, I didn't even know it was him until like halfway through the movie or until I saw the credits. Like people, he was almost unrecognizable. He had like a fat suit. He had glasses. Like I said, he had a bald man wig and everything like that. And it was so unlike anything he had ever done. And it was, I don't, it showed that he had, again, he had a sense of humor, that he could have fun, that he was cool. It goes back to doing favors, because Ben Stiller, since the early 90s, has been doing a Tom Cruise impersonation.
Yeah, that's right.
He did it on the Ben Stiller Show, he's done it on Saturday Night Live, he did it when he was hosting the MTV Movie Awards, he's always breaking out, that's almost like one of his go-to impersonations is a Tom Cruise, like, hey, I'm Tom Cruise, hey. That was a terrible impersonation of Ben Stiller impersonating Tom Cruise. But I got to imagine Ben Stiller, who directed Tropic Thunder,
right.
pr- probably called up Tom. It's like, hey, you know, I think it'd be really fun if you showed up, work a couple weeks, do this little bit.
Make some money.
And then, you think Tom Cruise needs money? That's the thing, though. He doesn't, he's like a James Cameron. He's not working for paychecks. He's doing what he wants to be doing.
Yeah.
He has a luxury. He's one of the few people in Hollywood who has a luxury to only do what he wants to be doing. There's no one for me, one for them mentality when you're choosing films.
Yeah, I did want to say something real quick here because we brought this up. If you ever seen like Tom Cruise doing like interviews, like talk shows, things like that, he always talks about he's a movie fan. Like that's all he knows is watching movies. Like he'll watch one movie a day.
That's, I think I've heard that.
Yeah, but one other thing, we've been on Twitter at popculture RWND, I did a search the other day for Tom Cruise for whatever reason, but if you look at like celebrities on Twitter, they have all these millions of followers, and they'll only be following like five people. Or
you mean he follows five people?
Well, like the celebrity or the actor or the famous person, or whatever. They normally don't follow anybody because they're always just worried about who's following them, and so they can get their name out.
If you say so, I don't understand how
you may not be following
how the Twitter works,
but I'm sure that the listeners are following me. But this guy, Tom Cruise, on his Twitter page, he's following over 57,000 people.
Shit.
Yeah. Now, he's got 5.5 million followers.
Followers?
Yeah.
Does he tweet a lot?
Yeah, he tweets.
Really? He's a tweeter?
Yeah.
I bet he hires, some, what do you call them? Intern?
Maybe. Possibly.
So, you know what? No, you know what it is? It's one of them, cadets at the Scientology cult who's been assigned to work for Tom Cruise.
Well, because he is a Scientologist.
He is a Scientologist. We've been loving him. We've been sucking Tom Cruise's dick for 9.5 now. But anybody who tunes into a podcast about Tom Cruise expects us to mention one thing. He's crazy. He's kind of crazy. He makes great movies. He's a movie star. He's as big as they come. But he's a little crazy.
Yeah.
I think when most people started realizing he was crazy, it was like 10 years ago.
The Oprah couch thing?
That might have been it. That might have been the first thing where he's like, I'm in love, and he's jumping all up and down Oprah's couch. Because I guess that's when he had met Katie Holmes.
Yeah.
And he was just retarded in love and crazy in love. Crazy in love. And he was jumping on Oprah's couch. And like that, apologist would have been like, well, he's in love, and he's, he's happy. So he's jumping on couches.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
And I guess it was right after that incident that he had this interview with Matt Lauer on the Today Show.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was... Somehow the subject turned to, Brooke Shields, who... Apparently, Tom Cruise had been in, an argument with Brooke Shields because Brooke Shields was, taking antidepressants, and Tom Cruise doesn't believe in psychiatric drugs or psychiatry.
Psychiatry, yeah.
I know the history of psychiatry. You don't, because you're glib. Matt Lauer, you're glib. You don't know the history of psychiatry. And he was just coming down against that. He was coming down against what's that attention deficit drug every single kid's on these
Ritalin.
Days? Ritalin. He was coming down on Ritalin. He was coming down on everything. And he was getting a little too, I don't know. I'm sure his publicist was in the back, waving his arms, like pull it back. You're coming off as crazy. But no, Tom Cruise will not be contained. Tom Cruise will.
He'll get his point across if he needs to.
Tom Cruise will not be contained. Tom Cruise breaks free. Tom Cruise finds a way.
Well played, my friend.
Yeah. So, and a lot of people started chalking it up to, he's a Scientologist.
Right, yeah.
And I don't even think I even knew what Scientology was.
I knew about Scientology because of Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that him and John Travolta.
Yeah, John Travolta.
Those are the two big... There's so many in Hollywood. That are Scientologists. But
then two guys are the spokesman for
big. They're the two big guns.
Yeah.
I think I read that Tom Cruise got into Scientology in the early '90s through his, or maybe late '80s through his wife at the time, Mimi Rogers.
Mm.
I guess she was a Scientologist, introduced him to it. And there's a documentary on HBO. I saw it on HBO Go called "Going Clear."
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it's called. And it's a documentary on HBO Go called about Scientology, about the history of it, about all that. It was really interesting. And they talk a little bit about Tom Cruise, not a whole lot. But it makes it seem as if when you join the church, the church sells you, quote-unquote, church. I'm using air quotes when I call it a church, by the way, that the Church of Scientology makes you think it's all about self-improvement and a new way of thinking and things like that. All good stuff, and it gets people involved. And then once you get several years into it and you achieve like a certain level of it, then they open up, okay, now you're ready to learn what this church is really about. It's about aliens and shit like that and the crazy shit. But it's not like they sell you right up front,
right,
like, oh, you're interested in Scientology? Here's what we believe in, all this batshit crazy stuff. No, they wait until you're invested both morally, you know, spiritually and financially, years in, when they dump the crazy on you. And then by then, it's kind of like, it's really hard to leave that church. It's like a cult. They will hassle you and harass you, and they make your loved ones not talk to you. It's really hard to separate yourself from that church. Some celebrities have managed to do it.
And they said this on the documentary?
Yeah. Some celebrities, a couple of them whose names, I know them, but they escaped. Paul Haggis is one. Paul Haggis, the Oscar-winning writer, director of Crash and Million Dollar Baby and all that. Yeah, he was a Scientologist for like 20 years, and he separated. He's one of the guys in the documentary who talks, who's been in it for 20 years.
He's the one that got out.
Who's given like hundreds of thousands of dollars, tithings or whatever you want to call it, to this crazy church.
Yeah.
But the way they all talked about Tom Cruise as, yeah, the church revered him like a god. They, you know, they had resorts. Tom Cruise always got the best treatment of anything, the best. When he was visiting, it was like an unspoken rule to treat him like, you know, like the second coming or something like that. I don't blame Tom Cruise for enjoying being a Scientologist, because they worship him.
Yeah, if they treat him,
because he's the biggest gun they have. And it's
ironically, he's like 5 foot tall.
Yeah, but you shoot him down low on screen, he looks like Yao Ming.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and plus it's really hard to leave it. From what I've gathered, I don't know if he wants to leave it. He seems to be really,
because he's still in it, right?
He's still in it. He seems to be really enthusiastic about it.
Do you think it's some, like, for lack of a better word, brainwashing?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally, dude. Yeah. What they're doing. What they're messing. You know, you know how many thetans you have in your bloodstream right now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody knows that.
You need to get audited.
Yeah.
And which is they connect you to a machine. You're holding these two little things. Uh-huh. And they're, quote-unquote, auditing you. And as you're talking about all... It's almost like confession, it seems. Like, you're describing everything that's going wrong in your life, everything you're doing wrong. And somebody's there just taking notes and listening. And you could probably fill this room with a stack of notebooks they have of dirt on Tom Cruise. And when you try and leave the church, it's like, we know all this shit. You've told us all your secrets. You can't, you know, stuff like that is what I heard in this documentary.
Right.
So you can't hit me for libel or slander. Either one.
It was on HBO.
So it was on HBO.
It's a documentary, so it's got to be true.
It's called Going Clear, but it was really, really interesting. And they do talk a little bit. There's footage of Tom Cruise at, like, Scientology meetings.
Yeah.
And they're giving him awards, a medal. Like he bends over like fucking Star Wars at the beginning, and they put a medal on him, and he's up there giving a speech about how great Scientology is, and they have this gigantic portrait of L. Ron Hubbard, its founder, and Tom Cruise turns to it, and he's like LRH, and then salutes it, and it's creepy.
Yeah.
It's creepy. But, you know, I try and forget all that when I'm going to see a Tom Cruise movie, because the guy makes great movies, and he's a really great actor. You know, and I try and separate their personal life to their work. This is, you know, it's their job, it's their work, it's what they're doing. I try not to get, you know, people like, I'm not going to go see that movie because he does this.
You know, the thing is, when all that was going around, he was going crazy and everything, and, you know, like you were saying, it was, you try to separate, you know, the personal from the films. Like, to me personally, like, some of the movies that were coming out in that time frame just weren't that good. I didn't appeal to me or anything. It was just...
In the mid-2000s?
Yeah.
Like, what else was
going on? I'm more or less like him as an action star. So, I think he was doing a lot of non-action at this time.
I'm trying to remember. Like, after the couch jumping incident, specifically?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? There's this hilarious bit on YouTube of him in that scene, only they cut in the dialogue of the end of, like, Revenge of the Sith. and Tom Cruise is laughing, but they're using the Emperor's laugh. And then, because he grabs Oprah's hands, like grips them.
Yeah.
And they put the electricity, like he's electrocuting Oprah with the Sith, with the Dark Force, whatever. And they're playing like, dun-dun, and he's like, hey, and he's electrocuting Oprah. It is hilarious. It's probably a GIF, because it's only like a few seconds
worth of footage. I don't know why that sounds familiar. Maybe I've actually seen that.
That was 10 years ago that shit was making the rounds. But, I think either right around the time... I think War of the Worlds came out, like, right after the crazy stuff started getting crazy. And that movie didn't do great. And I think they're like, Tom Cruise and Steven Spielberg, how is that not hit it at the park?
It's right. based Plus on the story.
The famous War of the Worlds broadcast. And it didn't do great.
Yeah.
And some people were saying it's because Tom Cruise had sort of become off-putting to people due to the craziness. I didn't love, to be honest, I just straight up didn't love War of the Worlds.
I watched it. Yeah, something about it, it was there. I saw it. It's like, eh. But it wasn't like groundbreaking.
I think I bought it on DVD, having never seen it, because I was like,
it's got to be good.
Steven Spielberg, Tom Cruise, of course. So I watched it once. I don't think I've ever seen it a second time.
Yeah.
And I own it. It's probably still sitting. Yeah. I've never seen it a second time.
Yeah.
I remember the end. And the thing is, I wasn't too familiar with the World World story. So the ending, twist ending, if you will, you know, I guess if I knew, I wouldn't have been so disappointed.
Spoiler alert with the leaves and the water and the
germs. It's
germs. That's right. Yeah.
That's what kills these giant monsters and all that. I was like, that's it. Like if I listened to the old radio play with Orson Welles and all that, and I knew that that's what happened, maybe I would have walked in and not been so like, are you kidding me? But but it was kind of fresh to me, so I experienced the whole, are you kidding me, the first time I saw it. And yeah, didn't love it. Also in the 90s, he did Valkyrie, which I've never seen. I think I started it like twice and couldn't finish it. So there's that. And then he did Night and Day with Cameron Diaz.
What year did that come out?
2010.
Yeah, I think that was like trying to get back to action.
Trying to get back to just mainstream appeal.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm a likable action star. It wasn't even, I don't even think it was like rated R. Because
that was like, that was 5 years
after. It wasn't hardcore action. It was almost like romantic comedy slash action.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't awful, but I saw it one time, and
I'm just not a big fan of Cameron Diaz.
Never mind.
It's hard for me.
Who also was his co-star Vanilla Sky. I don't think we mentioned her. She's in Vanilla Sky, too.
Was she, though?
She's in that one. She's in it. She plays kind of a crazy eyes sort of a girl. She does a good job.
Yeah.
I'll give her, Cameron Diaz does a good job in that movie. And she's only in it for a little bit. So, yeah, don't avoid it for her if you're not a Cameron Diaz fan. Well, there's not too many. People love it.
There were some good action bits, and there were some good scenes in Night and Day, but I didn't go out of my way to, like,
own it or anything. I don't remember the plot. I just remember the I remember the romantic comedy aspect. I don't remember the action plot of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Someone was on the run. Yeah. Like, he was on the run or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Someone's going to correct us on this, I'm sure, but...
No. Yeah. And then he did Ghost Protocol. Then after that, he did Rock of Ages, which, again, that's not a Tom Cruise movie. He was part of an ensemble.
Right.
The famous musical, I guess you want to call it, stage play, Rock of Ages. He plays Stacy Jacks. I mean, Rock of Ages, quote, was famous before this movie came out.
Yeah, I probably didn't know that.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. Yeah. I like the music in it, that era of music.
Yeah.
I like it a lot, and it had, you know, other people in it, like Alec Baldwin and Bryan Cranston. There's a few, Paul Giamatti. There's a few reasons to check it out. And he's good in it.
Mm-hmm.
He plays like a huge rock star who doesn't even care anymore.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. And he does a good job, and he sings okay. He's not like, oh my god, he should cut an album.
But it's his, he's singing
he
it?
He sings. Okay. Everybody sings in it. And then after that, he did Jack Reacher, which is a series of books.
Yeah, I've heard the name Jack Reacher
before. Yeah, I've never read them, but some people like them. Apparently in the book, Jack Reacher is supposed to be like 6'4", and a lot of people were out the gate like, what? Like, you cast this midge as Jack Reacher? Oh, it was a big stink. Again, I saw the movie one time. I think I rented it.
Dude, it's on my Netflix queue for, like, a year. I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I can't remember a damn thing about it, except that Jai Courtney was the bad guy.
Is it just another action flick?
I think they were hoping for a franchise, because it's, you know, they bought a property of a book.
I think IMDb has something like Jack Reacher 2 on the future.
It's been announced.
Yeah.
So. Jack Reacher, Never Go Back. See? It's not even called Jack Reacher 2.
Oh, there you go.
Jack Reacher, Never Go Back. Although, they have announced Mission Impossible 6. So, and then they have announced Top Gun 2.
Well, maybe it's just in development. They don't have like full names yet.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Placeholder.
Top Gun 2, if he plays like the Tom Skerritt role, he's training all these kids. Only instead, at the end of this movie, when Tom Skerritt tells Top Gun, like, you know, if you need a wingman, call me. Only in this movie, he calls him. And he actually calls Tom Cruise to come out to fly the mission. At this point, Tom Cruise is like a commander or right. something like that. You know, give him a little bit of Reed Richards gray to show that he's like a seasoned guy.
Yeah.
And hire a whole new slew of young and Hollywood Tom Skerritt's kids. Mustache. You want Tom Cruise with a mustache? No. Yeah, okay. 80s, you get away with a mustache in the 80s.
Yeah.
But, and then James Tolkien is now the president. He, like, picks up the phone, like get me Maverick, you slacker, you know. And he calls Maverick, and I need your best Top Gun pilots to go fly to
Miramar.
Miramar's a Marine base now. Yeah, it's not Navy anymore. Hmm. Last I heard. He's like, I need you to go fly a mission to Corto Maltese. But Batman is already there. Doing some missions of... No, Superman's already there stopping their nuclear weapons, and then they tie it all in to The Dark Knight Returns. There you go.
Bam. Done.
Why is Hollywood not calling me up right now? Yeah. Top Gun 2, just the idea. I'm all for it. Like, if you said, do you hear they're making a Top Gun 2? I'm like, awesome.
Updated military, you know, and...
Yeah. I could totally see that. If Val Kilmer, you know, let him hit the gym for a few months, get back in shape...
Oh, you want Val Kilmer in there too?
I would love Val Kilmer in there. Maybe he's like a lieutenant commander at this point.
They're
too.
They're still going at it,
and they're still kind of going like there's a grudging respect, but they still kind of give each other shit.
Like Angel and Spike, they're petty between each other.
Yeah, like you spend the whole movie with them giving each other shit, but then when you hit the climax of the movie, when the shit hits the fan, they just stop all pretenses, put differences aside, and are professional. Wingman, he's like you told me one time I could be your wingman anytime, you know, and I said bullshit. You could be mine, you know. Bring out all the old lines and shit like this, and maybe like Tom Cruise's son is going through Top Gun school, and his son named Goose Mitchell is like a student in it, and he's you know, and he's like fighting because everybody's like, oh, your daddy's the CEO, and he's got to prove himself because daddy issues are a big part of Top Gun, mm-hmm. you know, lore,
right.
So you got that. Dude, there's like just a million
possibilities. Are you pitching me Top Gun 2?
Well, apparently I don't need to because apparently it's getting made. Yeah. I'm just saying what I would like to see in a new Top Gun movie. I wouldn't presume to say what Mission Impossible 6 could be about. But Top Gun, yeah, that's part of my DNA of watching that growing up and living it. I don't have to watch it, Dottie. I lived it. You know what I mean? Well, I didn't fly F-14s, but... because nobody did at that time when I was... But I'm going to be in line to see Top Gun 2.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm totally on board. The only thing is that Tony Scott is no longer... He left this world a few years ago, so Tony will not be directing it, which is sad. I was almost tempted to be like, no. No Top Gun movie without Tony Scott. You know what? Fuck it. Get Ridley. That would be awesome! Oh, my God! Get Ridley. Get his brother. Two Top Gun 1 and Top Gun 2, each directed by a brother. Not like the Russos, where they both did Captain America 1, Captain 2. No, one brother does one, one brother does... Oh my God, that would be insane.
As an homage to his brother.
Like really dedicate, you know, dedicate. At the end of the movie, when he's flying over into the sun, like, for Tony.
Yeah.
Dude. Fade to black, roll credits. Playing with the boys. The music. Oh my God, there, you just got a movie. Just green light that shit. Why is nobody green lighting that shit?
I think so.
Okay. Well, my version. Which, you know what? You know, give me in a year from now, what time, when is it slated to come out? Like 2006? It doesn't even have a year. So.
There's time.
Yeah, give me
two years. Episode comes out, then all the executives listen to it.
You know, but yeah, nobody's going to listen to it. But this movie's going to come out in 3 years' time. I'm going to pull out this, be like, bam, and yeah.
Didn't use any ideas.
Mine is gonna blow them stuff out the water. I'm gonna be talking to these executives like, dude, you should have listened. You don't even understand. You're glib. You're glib, Mr. 20th Century Fox executive. I have no idea who's producing this. What studio? But they're, you know what? They're glib, and they don't understand the history of Top Gun. I know the history of Top Gun. It might have been. Who knows? Maybe the Rise of Labs or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Paramount. Because didn't Tom Cruise had a big Paramount deal, right?
I think he did back in the day.
And then with the whole Scientology thing, that's what ended that, right?
Really?
I think so.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why that was another thing with the whole Scientology thing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But at this point, he could he probably has his own studio.
I'm sure.
Yeah. He could probably produce his own movies. That guy's like stupid. The guy's now like a producer on everything he does, right. And that's what the money is.
Yeah.
Like, even though Mission Impossible 2 was like, eh, he cleared like tens and tens of millions of dollars from that movie. Like a ridiculous amount at the time.
Not only being because paid as an actor, but now producer.
He got the producer credit.
Right.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times actors will like forego acting cost until the movie comes out, and then they exchange their upfront fees for like back end deals.
Yeah.
Which translates to way more money.
Yeah.
But I can't think of any other movie off the top of my head. I'm going through I have a catalog of DVD. Ooh, there's one.
Hmm.
Oh, speaking of relevance, remakes.
Yeah.
Was it 2002?
For
Minority Report.
Yes.
2002. Yeah. Bam. Yeah. okay, Minority Report. Another Steven Spielberg collaboration.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Again, when I see that, I'm like, oh, Steven Spielberg must be able to like this guy enough that he wants to work with him again, despite... No, I take it back. This was the first one.
Because World of the Wars
came out. I'm sorry. So reverse that. But well, either way, same thing applies. Steven Spielberg liked him enough, he wants to work with him again. But the first one was Minority Report. A pretty clever sci-fi movie.
Was it based on a series of books, or was it based on something?
Was it? It sounds like it's probably like a Philip K. Dick book or something like that. I do not know. But it was a cool idea, and the premise was in the future, not crazy future, but we have, they call them precogs.
Right.
Who can sense when murders will happen. And Tom Cruise is like a cop in the pre-crime unit, and they arrest you right before you commit the murder. And that's his deal. That's his gig.
What do you think about that idea?
It's a cool idea. Like, you know, I'm all about fresh ideas, even though
Maybe I was off on that one, but...
But it was a cool idea. I think it was marketed as like a big summer action movie.
Mm-hmm.
And people went and saw it. It was based on a short story by Philip K. Dick.
Was it? Okay.
Okay, yeah. Who's written a lot of good sci-fi movies.
I mean,
movies.
You knew who it was. Okay.
Yeah. The Total Recall is also based on a Philip K. Dick story. Remember For You Wholesale. And Scanner Darkly is another Philip K. Dick. Mm. But, it was a cool idea. People thought it was going to be the trailers all showcased the action, the sci-fi action.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go see the movie, and it was very light on the action. So I think this movie suffered from mismarketing. If they told you up front what it was, mm-hmm. then you'd go in expecting that, and you're like, wow, that delivered what it said it was going to give, and it did it well. But I think it tried to mismarket it.
And that's unfortunate. It's a bad trend in Hollywood for their trailers. I'm sure and that happens quite a bit.
You know? Yeah. A good movie suffer from mismarketing. I think I said one time Adventureland was marketed as a wacky super bad type comedy.
Yeah.
When in actuality it was more like a coming of age, kinda like a drama. Say anything kind of thing. Yeah, drama. Yeah. And it was a great movie, it's just people were expecting something different.
Yeah. And that's a trend, I think. They need to reevaluate that. I mean, because it throws people off. And
yeah. Minority Report was cool. Got Colin Farrell, which was, I think, one of the first times I ever saw Colin Farrell. And I remember thinking, like, who is this dude in the Steven Spielberg movie Tom Cruise I've never even heard of? I expected to know every actor. And I'm like, who is this kid?
This is before Daredevil, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he had done some work, but this is the first time I saw him. And I was like, he's good. Max von Sydow is in it, too. Neil McDonough. Some cool cast, you know. Spielberg doesn't pepper his cast with only recognizable actors, even though I just sort of said I expected to see that. Samantha Morton plays the main precog.
I want to go back and revisit that one because I don't think around that time frame, I just wasn't, for whatever reason, kind of digging Tom Cruise movies, so I don't know.
Peter Stormare's in it. He has a small scene.
Yeah.
As like this eye surgeon. Because everything in the future is done through retinal scans.
Yeah.
Like you walk onto the subway and like a little thing like zaps your retinal and it knows who you are, and then it like plays a commercial while you're on the subway directed at you, thinking this is what you'd like because you're just part of this big system, which is not that far off.
That's what I'm saying.
It was like this was like over 10 years ago, and it's kind of like, wow, they were kind of predicting, you know, that very select, you know, market, that narrow marketed stuff. Like, you know, he walks in the subway, it scans him, and it's like, John Anderton, how would you like a new blah blah blah, because it knows who he is and it probably weighs everything.
That would get annoying fast.
It would, but people are just sort of oblivious to it because it's just like part of the society. Yeah. it's kind of a cool movie, and it portrays the future, you know, the look of it, the cars and the world they create. It's not so foreign from what we know, mm-hmm. but it's just the not too distant future that, yeah. that old they dust off that old chestnut. It's a cool movie,
and it's getting into a series now, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know much about that. Yeah. I think I saw one trailer, and that was it.
Me too.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, it's still. I mean, things by the time this recording, it's fairly new to hear about it. But mm-hmm. But anyway,
so that's getting turned into a show. I doubt Tom has anything to do with it.
Oh yeah,
or TV. Please, I'm Tom Cruise.
Spielberg will probably be executive producer on it.
He'll probably get some EP credit by doing nothing.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. he does it right now with Falling Sky, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And they keep throwing his name every time. Steven Spielberg presents Falling Sky.
Yeah. They'll do the same thing with Minority Report.
Probably.
Yeah. I have one last one I wanted to talk about, because it's fairly new. It came out last year. Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I totally forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Or as the marketing we say it should be called... was it Run, Die, or Run, Kill, Die? Or
Live, Die, Repeat.
Fuck that one.
Run, Kill, Die. Murder, Death, Kill. they put it out as Edge of Tomorrow, and it didn't do too good, and some people were arguing it was the title was off-putting. So when it hit DVD and Redbox and all that kind of stuff, it was Live, Die, Repeat with Edge of Tomorrow and Little B. It was like Live, Die, Repeat. Eeny, meeny, leave a space.
Yeah, and I remember watching the trailer before the movie came out, and I was like... This looks complicated.
It was a bad trailer.
Yeah.
Like, with a bad music. Like,
and the name didn't help.
And there was, like, this weird tech, whatever, repeating a line of some sort of a...
I guess they're trying to market it to where it wasn't giving anything away, but you kind of have to, sort of, to
get
the point across. I don't know.
It was like one of those movies that anybody is running through the streets, go see Edge of Tomorrow. It's actually good. Like, it didn't deserve... Like I said, he made a few that were like Jack Reacher and Oblivion. We didn't talk about Oblivion.
He was oblivious to us.
He made a few that were like, meh. Jack Reacher, meh. Oblivion, meh. Edge of Tomorrow. The numbers were meh, but it was actually good. It didn't deserve to be considered meh.
Yeah.
It's cool with Emily Blunt, Bill Paxton.
It was a fun movie.
Yeah, Brendan Gleeson. A lot of people were saying it was like Die Hard, not Die Hard, Groundhog Day. Why did I say Die Hard? Groundhog Day meets Independence Day. There you go, Independent Groundhog Day.
Yeah,
it's kind of a way to put it. I'm sure somebody's made that joke before. It's cool. Like, you know, he fights an alien battle, and every time he dies, it's like Groundhog Day. You know, Sonny and Cher wake him up, and he starts the whole battle all over again.
And because of that, he goes back to the same spot every time he dies.
Yeah, you get to play with the same things that Bill Murray did 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Where he walks, we see him walk into a scenario, he doesn't know what's going on, and then we see him walk into the same scenario, knowing everything, mm-hmm. being the most coolest, knowledgeable guy in that conversation.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun to see that he knows everything, and people are like staring at him like, okay, like I don't know how you knew that. Cool movie. Doug Liman directed it.
It took me a while to like actually get like once all that started happening, I was like, okay.
The director of Swingers and Born Identity. I like Doug Liman. Mm-hmm. He's a good director. Some people say he's difficult to work with, but he makes good movies.
Yeah, I don't got to work with him, so I don't care.
Yeah. I enjoyed Edge of Tomorrow, and I think more people should look into that one if you haven't seen it. Don't brush it off. It's just a weird Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Although I do remember thinking when I saw the trailer, I was like, dude, how old are you, dude? And you're trying to do these, you know, mech suit heavy CGI action movies, like, you know.
Maybe they should have left that out of it. Like, the trailer, yeah, going back to the trailer and the marketing, it's just fail.
I don't know. I was just surprised, like, is Tom Cruise still trying to be this kind of an action star?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why the Mission Impossibles, probably because he's been doing them for 20 years, mm-hmm. almost 20 years, I think it's weird when he does a new Mission Impossible, but when he just pulls a random action movie script off the pile, mm-hmm. like this one, I want to do this one, and I'm sure his agent's like, Tom, you're 51 years old, Tom, why are you doing, you know? But he likes the movies, he likes to be active, he likes doing action.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, more power to him. Yeah, good for him.
And I think he's still doing it well.
Yeah,
if Ghost Protocol and Edge of Tomorrow were in education
for what, a 51 year old man.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, dude, I hope I'm
I was going to say I wish I looked that good when I get to be his age, but I don't look half as good as he does right now myself. So there's no hope of looking like that.
Oh, come on. Now you're being a little too hard on yourself there.
No. Anyways, at least as Keanu Reeves once said in Speed, I'm taller. So I got that.
Suck it, Tom Cruise. Yeah.
So I got that going for me, which is good. I think we covered all the big ones. You know, there might be an anomaly here, a Lions for Lamb, what have you, that I don't know nothing about. But
I think we got our point across.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy is, you know, nuttier than squirrel shit, but he makes good movies.
That's him in a nutshell, yeah.
Yeah. No, this is him in a nutshell. Help, I'm Tom Cruise. I'm in a nutshell. How did I get into this nutshell? God, if y'all can see, he is staring daggers at me right now. Come on, I had to go for that joke. Yeah, it's a terrible joke.
It is terrible.
But we talked about Austin Powers earlier.
It ties in.
Full circle.
Yeah, there you go.
Circle of life. Okay.
All right, so are we done here with this?
We're done here.
Okay, I think we missed the showing of the next movie we're going to see, so we'll have to check the next time, but I think that's it. So, until next time, always remember to pop your culture. I wanted to mention the Craig Ferguson when we're talking about how short he is. Like when Craig Ferguson would always say, "Let me get the Tom Cruise stool."
Yeah. Kristen Bell was like, really, who's actually short, and he's like, he brings her a stool. Yeah. Like, we bring this for when Tom Cruise stops by. Yeah.
Did he ever?
I'm just kidding. Tom Cruise never stops by. Yeah.
Was he ever on the show? Actually,
I don't think so. Yeah. I might be making up that second show.
Dude, Tom Cruise should have been on his last show.
Craig Ferguson's?
Yeah.
Probably. Tom Cruise doesn't do a lot of PR stuff.
Like Letterman.
He did Letterman stuff and Oprah, obviously. Yeah. And Matt Lauer. Probably because every time he shows up in a talk show, it's like disastrous. But yeah, he's not known for... I was surprised, actually, when you told me about that whole Twitter thing.
Yeah.
I didn't think he would be a Twittery kind of guy.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like he has time for it.
Yeah. He's so busy. I don't know. It was really cool when I saw that, because usually celebrities are just like... They don't have they don't follow anyone. It's just all about how many followers they have.
I'll take your word for that.
Yeah.
But I was tempted to say, like, YouTube this, YouTube that, because there's so many... There's been time, 3 in the morning, I'm bored, and you wind up just on random Wikipedia pages, random YouTube pages, and there's, like, tons of Tom Cruise being... Sometimes not even being weird. Sometimes it's labeled as Tom Cruise is being weird, but it's not even fair. Like, there's this one video of... He's, like, some... like, red carpet where there's tons of people with microphones and stuff, and somebody has, like, a trick microphone that squirts water. And Tom Cruise is answering his question, and the guy does something, and it squirts him in the face. And the guy tries to go away, and Tom Cruise, like, grabs him. He's like, no, like, don't go away. He's like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? You're being a jerk. I'm giving you an interview. Why would you? And the guy, and it's like...
It's a fair point, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, that's actually Tom Cruise being normal.
He's being a person,
He's being a real person. Yeah, some dude squirts him in the face when he's giving him an interview, and Tom Cruise, that guy, he kept his poise. He didn't get, like, super angry. He had like, a stern stern tone.
Like anybody would. Like, anybody squirt water in your face.
That is very rude, sir. Yeah. He was being like that. And I was like, wow, like, Tom Cruise handled that with much aplomb, if I can use that word, because that was on my word today calendar yesterday. No, it wasn't.
Okay.
But I've just always wanted to say that word.
Well, I guess it means I got to keep on saying it. No, what was it? It was a Nerdist podcast episode where he was the guest, and he came off, like, really good in that, like...
Yeah, I. It's like
he's promoting Edge of Tomorrow. Actually, that's what it was.
That probably makes sense. Yeah, I think it's just some days he wakes up and you got like cool Tom Cruise, and one day a week you get the crazy one, and then it's like shit, we haven't booked today. Which Tom Cruise we got today? It's the crazy one. God damn it! It's too late to cancel. This is Oprah. You don't cancel on Oprah. So next thing you know, he's jumping on couches, crazy in love.
Oh. It didn't even last.
That was so weird.
I'm in love, and woo.
And what's funny is because he jumps on the couch, and you can see from a like a wide shot that he's not a not a tall man.
The facade was broken at
the end. Anyways, but yeah, I'm still psyched about the new Mission Impossible, and I'll probably still keep seeing Tom Cruise.
If it's not good, I'll be surprised.
Yeah, I'm sure it's good. Everybody's yeah. sucking that movie's dick right now. Yeah. Number one, it's got a 93%. I hate it. I don't know. Okay, I was watching a trailer on TV, and the trailer said, "Now with a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, Mission Impossible 5." When did that become a legitimate rating of how good is the movie doing?
Of Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Because I hear people...
That's like the go-to standard for movie ratings.
But amongst, like, IMDb message boards and shit like that, people will throw out, like, that statistic like it means something. But when did, like, actual television TV. Marketing... When did the studios start pulling that as a real marketing tool?
Dude, I don't even know, man.
That was, like, the first time I've seen it.
I've always heard of Rotten Tomatoes.
I've never been on that site, really, to be honest.
Yeah. I've never been on the site, but I've always heard about them.
Yeah, as much as I love movies, I just never...
Like my Fandango app on my phone. You click on a movie, it'll tell you, like, Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. You're right. It gives you those percentages. Like, that's a selling point.
Yeah.
But do you...
I don't know how it became, like, legit. Like, I don't know how, like, everybody goes to...
Do you think, like really, like, Mr. and Mrs. John Q, every man, middle America couple sees, like honey, like the Mission Impossibles is a 93. Let's go to... What the hell kind of accent was that? But...
I don't know, but really they think, sound like that. They don't have a TV.
Yeah, do you think, like, your average... Like, I don't think my mom... is going to want to go see a movie because of its Rotten Tomatoes score.
I doubt it, yeah. It's but, clearly... But
she, you know, she's not the consumer.
Right, it's clearly going towards a certain demographic.
Yeah, you know? like the 19 to 49, I think, is the demographic that everybody goes for. Yeah. I guess they know what Rotten Tomatoes is.
Which is weird because, you know, TV demographics are going to, like, an older audience now anyways.
They are?
Well, younger people, everything's all...
But young people don't, like, tune in to watch TV.
That's what I'm saying. It's all about DVR. That's what I'm saying. So why even put that on commercial, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Whatever.
All right.
But it's probably going to be good. Who's the bad guy? Do you know?
Mission Impossible?
Yeah. No one. I don't even know. Every trailer is just about him hanging from a plane.
I guess we're going to find out.
Okay.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.